Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1621, air date December 10th, 2025.
Can the government silence free speech using these social media platforms like X and Facebook? Now, you recall about a year ago, I spoke to Elon Musk right here on the show, and I asked him the question, are you going to shut down the backdoor portal that was used quite openly by the Biden administration to silence people across Twitter? And it seemed like when I asked him that question that he was unaware of this backdoor portal, which was confirmed. We know that this portal existed. Here was his response. Listen.
Thanks, Elon. One of the stories we've been covering on our show over the past couple of months is Dr. Shiva's lawsuit. He was banned from Twitter running for the Senate from Massachusetts. And one of the things in his lawsuit that was uncovered was the back end government portal to both Facebook and Twitter, the trusted Twitter partnership. And I know on Twitter's blog, that trusted Twitter partnership between Twitter and someone with a government email address can reach out to Twitter and basically have accounts banned, taken down. Is that portal, is that trusted partnership still available to the government? And given what you've released in the Twitter files, does it make sense for that to still be there?
I got to dig into this trusted partnership thing. You know, obviously that has like some Big Brother vibes. Twitter will adhere to the law, but it will not do, you know, it's not going to go beyond the laws. And if there are laws that don't seem to be in the interest of the people, then Twitter will push to change the laws to be in the interest of the people. I'll dig into this trusted partnership thing, find out what's going on.
So here we are at the tail end of 2025, and it appears that that portal is still opened, and the government is still using that portal to silence voices across social media. One of those individuals who was silenced and banned and blocked is Dr. Shiva Ayyaduri. He had a massive lawsuit going up against Twitter, and therefore the government as well, but looks like that case has now been derailed by an activist judge. So we wanted to touch base with Dr. Shiva to see where things sit in all of this. Dr. Shiva, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Great to be here, Clayton.
So we hear, Elon Musk, CEO, you know, now the head of Twitter, runs the show, and wow, now free speech is back again. But of course, your case was running concurrently with all of this, and it appears that's not the case. So when you heard Elon Musk answer my question, what did you think?
Well, the simple statement, where Elon Musk begins and where government ends, nobody knows, Clayton. And I think it's absolute political theater to project Elon Musk as a fighter for free speech. And I know this personally. And I think that's why the reality of Judge Wolf, I think the reason we're having this conversation is Judge Wolf was a federal judge who presided over our, you know, historic case on free speech. And he was the one who derailed it. But he had other actors supporting him, including Elon Musk. But let me begin for everyone's background very briefly. If people go to winbackfreedom.com, fortunately, we memorialized everything. So I think the first thing to understand is that, I ran for U.S. Senate in 2020. And in that race, it was obvious there was election fraud. And on my Twitter feed in September of 2020, I tweeted out the Massachusetts government had deleted ballot images, which they did and they admitted, which is a violation of 52 USC 20701, which demands that all records related to a federal election must be preserved for 22 months. Anyway, they deleted my ballot images, which would have shown the fraud took place. That tweet, Clayton, went viral. And suddenly I get thrown off Twitter. Okay. So
you're just banned. You were just banned after that tweet went viral. They just shut you down.
After that tweet accusing the government, which is what the right a U.S. citizen has, right?
Right.
To have speech, which is the highest form of free speech, political speech, the most protected form of speech by the United States Constitution. So here I'm still in the middle of our campaign because we moved it to a write-in campaign in September of 2020. So interesting enough, one of these, what do they call them? Those organizations which look for what's true news, one of those fake true news organizations had written a attack piece in Reuters saying Dr. Shiva's lying. You know, ballot images, ballots were not deleted. I said ballot images, which are the scans that occur when a paper ballot goes through. By the way, in Massachusetts, in 9 counties, in the hand-counted county of Franklin County, we won by 10 points. And every other county, 60-40, 60-40, 60-40, against a guy who didn't even have one lawn sign up. So it's obvious that the machines were being played with. And on machines, paper ballots are converted to digital images, which have to be preserved. So nonetheless, when this occurred, we tried to find lawyers to sue. No one wanted to take it on. But in this Reuters report, this organization had said Dr. Shiva's lying, ballots were not deleted. But in that report, they'd also said they had contacted the government of Massachusetts and they had contacted Twitter to throw me off. Okay? Which is the grossest violation.
The government of Massachusetts, was it the Attorney General's office who oversees
Secretary
elections?
Of State.
Secretary of State, which oversees elections of the state of Massachusetts, reached out to Twitter and asked you to be thrown off. Did you ever get confirmation of that, emails through discovery?
Yeah. All of this. In fact, we have courtroom testimony. Okay, so when I saw that, I knew this was a serious violation of the First Amendment. I didn't know enough about election law to go on that route. Okay, so we tried to get lawyers in Massachusetts. By the way, William Galvin is the Secretary of State. He is known as the Prince of Darkness. That's his code name in Massachusetts because he's been in government for 40 years. Okay, so I had to file the lawsuit myself. I'm not a lawyer. I'm an engineer. And I had to brief up the case and not only do the lawsuit, but also file what's called a preliminary injunction. Now, what's a preliminary injunction? It says that you will not only do you think you have enough evidence to win the lawsuit, but it's urgent. Judges and courts do not like to take PIs on, right? Because it's of urgent nature. Anyway, because of the strength of the evidence we had, Judge Wolf, who was a presiding judge, decided to take our case. So we meet with Wolf in October of 2020, way before Twitter files, way before, okay? And in courtroom testimony, me and Wolf cross-examine the social media director of the Secretary of State. And he says, tell me what happened. He goes, I'm not that good at technology. She goes, oh, we saw him posting that ballots were deleted. And he goes, what did you do? By the way, which is false. I said ballot images. And she said, well, we logged into our special portal. And he goes, what do you mean a portal? He goes, oh, we have our own site that Twitter gives us that we get VIP treatment. And he goes, then what did you do? Well, we said that what he's saying is wrong. We wanted him off. Okay.
So you learn about this portal then. Is that when you first learned about this sort of backdoor portal?
October 2020. Partner Support Portal, PSP, which was created by Twitter and originally in England and deployed there. By the way, England doesn't really have any free speech, right?
Right.
And yeah, then it was deployed in India and Taiwan, and it was brought to the United States in collusion with Harvard Belfer School, Republicans and Democrats deployed this portal. All right. We're the ones who discovered all of this. All right. Long before Schellenberger, Mike Benz, who stole all of our material and did limited hangouts. Okay, so in October, in that lawsuit, in trial, in courtroom testimony, then the judge says, what did you do then? She goes, well, we wanted him off. And then he goes, what happened? Twitter took him off. And he goes, how did you feel? We felt relieved. This was a direct line, absolute courtroom testimony that the government contacted Twitter to deplatform a United States Senate candidate. It doesn't get any worse than this. We contacted Tucker Carlson, Glenn Greenwald, and we sent Tucker all of this. He did nothing. I have Tucker's personal email address. I've spoken to him before. We gave him multiple opportunities. By the way, people go to winbackfreedom.com. All of this is documented.
This was when he was still. This is when he was still at Fox News.
I think so. Yeah. But Glenn Greenwald's out there. One note through Noam Chomsky. All right, so-called fighters for free speech. Anyway, so the judge gives us our PI, what's called also a temporary restraining order. He orders the Secretary of State not to interfere. This is a huge victory. And then we have to go to the actual trial, right? That was a PI. By the time I'm put back on Twitter, it's after the election. Okay, so it basically lost 39 days. The trial is set in May. Okay, between October of 2020 and May, I get back put on Twitter. And on February 17th, I believe, I do a podcast like I'm doing with you right now, Clayton. And I share what had occurred in the lawsuit because a lot of our followers are very interested. And the instance I share that the ballot that we were thrown off for deleting or the government threw us off because we asserted that they deleted ballot images. This time I'm deplatformed for good, permanent suspension within 17 minutes of uttering those words. So we go back into court again and we have our lawsuit trial, which is in May of 2021. Okay. And it was supposed to be a 2-hour trial, ends up becoming 2 days. When I walk in, Judge Wolf, he says, you know, you've done amazing briefs here by yourself. And he goes, we have also commanded Twitter to come in. So before it was just me against the government, three attorney generals, DAs from the government, but now it's also three lawyers from Twitter. So to me, with no legal experience, representing myself in federal court against six lawyers, three from Twitter, three from the government. I mean, the government of Massachusetts. When that case starts, the night before, Clayton, very fortuitous, I was trying to figure out, what is this backdoor portal? It's never mentioned. It was known as a partner support portal, an anodyne term. And I find a series of documents on a server, initially in England, and then it went to the Harvard Belfer School. And it was called these very specific documents. People can go to winbackfreedom.com. And it was actually a manual of how the United States government will silence the speech of U.S. citizens. I'm not kidding. It's actually, it was called a playbook. Playbook 1, 2, and 3. Okay? And this was put together by Republicans and Democrats, Twitter, and the author of it was the Secretary of State of Massachusetts. And in the courtroom, they were all denying they even knew each other. So I held this document up and the judge is blown away. And he goes, you know, this case will be taught in every law school class. And then he says, you know, I have the right to appoint you an attorney. And he goes, are you open to taking on an attorney? And I go, sure. He goes, I got up at 6:30 this morning and I called up Howard Cooper, who's one of the leading First Amendment attorneys, and Howard may be willing to work with you. And Wolf's idea was that Cooper would come in and brief up my cases better. So as it went through federal court, where I was likely to get a victory, to the appellate, that it would survive, you know, any type of attacks. So anyway, by the way, all these cases were on Zoom at the time. Remember, COVID was taking place. In fact, Kennedy's people came who were talking about their being thrown off for, you know, the anti-vax stuff. And we're watching this carefully and we're filing amicus briefs. So they fully knew about our case. 2,000, 3,000 people were on that case, Clayton. This was closed room Zoom. So anyway, so I take Wolf's advice and I take on this lawyer, thinking he's going to help me. All right. And when a federal judge says that, you listen. What I did not know was Cooper was also representing Dershowitz in the Epstein case. Okay. And Cooper's fully wired in to the Massachusetts swamp. So we had 7 weeks. I think the following hearing was in July. And what Cooper was supposed to do with his massive legal team versus little old me was they were supposed to brief it up, make it a bit with memorandum law, all this kind of documentation. 3 days before the July hearing, Cooper comes to me and he says, you know, you're going to be the hero. You're going to be the first guy put back on Twitter. but drop all your claims against the government. Now, if people go to winbackfreedom.com, I had shown this beautiful diagram, which you can see shows how the Secretary of State of Massachusetts uses infrastructure to silence me. By the way, that infrastructure, those diagrams were stolen by Mike Pence, stolen by Schellenberger, who never gave me credit. Years later, they did limited hangouts. But
so they went to your website. They basically stole those documents and never said where they even came from?
Yeah, never cited me. And complete scumbags. And Mike Pence, if you're listening, I know who you work for. Limited hangouts are done by the government when they know there's a big story. They have these agents who act as though they're fighting for us, but they're actually releasing pieces of the story and they take ownership. You see, Clayton, I'm an independent. I'm not in the left or right camp. They can't have a guy like me bringing out truth and getting the limelight. So anyway, we expose all this. So Cooper, 3 days before this lawsuit, the hearing, demands that I drop the case against the government, which is the entire case, and was bribing me with, you're going to be a hero. You're going to be like Roe versus Wade, the first guy back on Twitter. And it was hell, those time trying to figure out what the hell to do. I took a principled stand and I said, look, this is way beyond me getting on Twitter. This is about the government using technology to silently silence speech of U.S.
citizens. Because at the end of the day, I mean, to get back on Twitter is one thing, but if the puppets, they're just puppets, and the puppeteers are in Washington, they're in Massachusetts government, they're the ones that are using this backdoor portal to silence. So Twitter is just
a puppet. This portal was funded by Pierre Omidyar, people like Peter Thiel, all of these guys, all right? And in the collusion of both Democrats and Republicans. And they have a freaking manual, three manuals, how you will rate the severity of what someone's saying and how you will silence them, which was used against me. So we have a direct connection between government silencing the speech of a U.S. citizen using Twitter as an intermediary. Your audience should know, Twitter, by the way, can silence anyone. They have First Amendment rights, right? However, this was a direct line that government silenced the speech of a U.S. Senate candidate using Twitter. Had it not been for government, Twitter would not have silenced me. That's a critical point. We had that evidence. Okay. So I go back into court in July. Everything's flipped. It was like a crucifixion. People who were on that Zoom were like, how did you take this, Dr. Shiva? Wolf is attacking me. My attorney is on the other side. In those 3 days, I had to brief up about 1,000 pages of paperwork. I didn't get any sleep, Clayton. I had to go get some lawyer who didn't know what was going on. So at least I could tell Wolf I did have a lawyer. And what ended up happening in that case was Wolf starts pointing his finger, threatening me. He says, you better dismiss the claims against the government or I will seize your hard disk. I think you're using shadow counsel. I think you're using this. Threatens the hell out of me. Scares the shit out of me. Okay? Because I'm not used to all this stuff.
Right.
And I fought back against Wolf. And I said, look, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the fact that all these defendants have colluded together against the American people. And not only that, Wolf also violated attorney-client privileges. Discussions that me, him, and my attorney had, he started revealing them. Total fucking scumbag.
On the Zoom call, he just starts telling everyone.
It's all recorded. Everything. Attorney-client. Things threatening me, right? And forcing me to essentially walk away. That's what he did. Because I had no support at that point. And so we walked away. By the way, I filed another lawsuit. But he threatened, you know, attorneys I had consulted with, to actually go after them. A guy called Charles Harder would actually help me win another case against Gawker Media. It's a whole nother story. And Charles said, I've never seen a crazy fucking judge like this. Okay? So Wolf cratered the most important lawsuit, even though he agreed because someone had gotten to him. And you know who got to him? This is my opinion, is William F. Galvin, who's the Secretary of State of Massachusetts, who I shit on every politician in Massachusetts. He's known as the Prince of Darkness. You can look it up. So Galvin, the Secretary of State, probably made a call to Wolf, brought in Cooper, who was, by the way, involved in the Whitey Bulger case, who was also representing Dershowitz, to essentially fuck up the whole case. But up until that point, we were the ones who exposed the entire backdoor portal. And if people go to winbackfreedom.com, they'll see the diagrams, they'll see the playbooks, it's all there. So now, fast forward to when you and I reconnected, I get put back on Twitter in 2022, and everyone's thinking Elon is the savior of the world at this point. And they're doing Twitter files, if you remember, which right. was plagiarized from everything we did, right? Acting as though this was new 2 years before. And in Twitter files, Elon does one of these town halls, and you asked him, hey, Dr. Shiva is the one who first exposes in his lawsuit, what are you going to do about this backdoor portal? I'm paraphrasing you, by the way. And he said, oh, that sounds like Big Brother. I'll get back to you. He never got back to anyone. Not only that, when I was put back on Twitter, Clayton, I did one tweet. And at that point, I had, and the tweet said, Elon, I'm an MIT PhD, the inventor of email. Why don't you make me your CEO? If you remember, Elon claimed he wanted to bring in his own CEO, a different CEO.
Right.
That tweet got 1 million views per day. By the way, if you look at prior to me being thrown off Twitter, if I would do a tweet, I'd get 30 to 40,000 retweets. You know, my tweets would go viral. Huge audience, about 250,000. So that tweet goes viral. I think ended up getting 10 or 20 million views. The next tweet I did was I said, Elon, are you going to remove the backdoor portal to Twitter? And I kept hammering him on this. And I wrote blog posts when he didn't respond, exposing the fact that all of Elon Musk's quote unquote ventures are all government at the behest of government. Twitter is at the behest of Section 230 immunity. SpaceX is essentially ex-military NASA engineers working. It's essentially the military and the amount of, I think he's got close to minimum $7 billion in subsidies. And obviously Tesla would not have any profitability were it not for carbon tax credits. So as I'm hammering Elon, my views went from 1 million views per day down to maybe on a good day, 10,000 views. I'm probably the most shadow person.
Why do you think that is?
Because here's the bottom line. And by the way, during that time, the Schellenbergers and Mike Benzes, the so-called fighters for free speech, come out plagiarizing my material. Now, this is going to be hard for people to understand. Here's the reality. The left and the right even want to own truths or half-truths or limited hangouts. What I mean by that is an independent guy like me exposes this truth and fights for it. They're like, shit, someone independent is bringing this news out. We can't have that. This guy can't be controlled. So they must create what I call the controlled opposition version of the truth, have other people talking similar stuff, but they're controlled. You see what I'm saying? It's right. hard to understand.
No, I get this. Once in a while, like during our live stream, someone in our chat room will be like, redacted is controlled opposition. I'm like, we're independent. Fuck off. Like, I don't know who you're telling me we're controlled by anybody, but right. I mean, so I see that, and I see that people saying that when they're controlled and they release small amounts of dripping information, but they're not fully getting out the full story. And then everyone looks over here and pays attention to what they said when the real story is over here. So I get that piece of it. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah. Well, in this case, the reality is you're talking all the shit over here, Mike Ben Schellenberger, but the fucking backdoor portal is still open to government and Elon Musk. And all these social media companies are in an unholy alliance. So here's the way it worked. You have Silicon Valley, which funds politicians, okay? The social media companies were made platforms versus a publishing company like the New York Times. If a publishing company makes $1 billion in revenue, they get a 1x on multiple in valuation. So they're worth about $1 billion. But if a social media company makes $1 billion in revenue, they get a 10x multiple. Okay, because the venture capitalists and the private equity guys rate these as two different types of industries. Okay, and the reason they do that is social media companies cannot be sued if someone on their site posts something defamatory, right? So this is a very big distinction. And this Section 230 immunity was given to them by Congress because Silicon Valley funded these guys to give them this different stature. And so if you follow the money, social media companies are directly owned and controlled by Congress. And once in a while, they'll do this political theater, like bring up Google's chairman or Zuckerberg and say, oh, what are you going to do? What are you gonna? It's all theater. Yeah. At the end of the day, whether it's Ted Cruz or whoever it is, they're all being funded by Silicon Valley to ensure these high valuations for these social media companies. That's what this is all about. The valuations of these companies are maintained through Section 230 immunity.
So Section 230 immunity, and then you have this recently under Senator Josh Hawley pushing to have YouTube, under Congressman, I forget who off the top of my head, had been pushing this to get YouTube to unban conservative voices. I'm drawing a blank off the top of my head here. Congressman. He never wears a coat and he always rolls up his sleeves. And I'm blanking on his name. Jim Jordan. I knew it would come to me.
And by the way,
pushing for this,
but by the way, during those hearings, Anna Polina stole all my stuff and represented it. And I know Anna Polina, these people stole my material, buried it. And this is where it gets really, really disgraceful. Not only disgraceful, but it shows how the swarm, as I call them, are working together against the American people. Biden versus Murthy was a replica lawsuit. As mine was going on, Kennedy, Gateway Pundit, all these guys who knew about our lawsuit, they start also suing government, okay? Mm-hmm. Using all the claims that we had. However, right. They left out even citing our lawsuit, which is so egregiously wrong. If there's a lawsuit here and you're doing a new lawsuit, you typically cite that lawsuit. Hmm. All right, why do they do this? Well, Biden versus Murthy, in my opinion, was the lawsuit to defecate on the First Amendment. It acted like they're fighting Kennedy, we can have a whole discussion about him, okay? Kennedy, all these guys claimed they were thrown off social media because of saying stuff for our medical freedom, right? But if you look at that lawsuit, they did not have the direct connection between government silencing the citizen. What they had was secondary type of evidence where the government called up Zuckerberg or called up Twitter and say, hey, these guys are posting misinformation. And then Twitter and Facebook had the time to digest it and say, yeah, they are. So Amy Coney Barrett, who wrote the opinion, the 6-3 opinion for the Supreme Court, she said they lack legal standing because they couldn't prove a concrete link between the government's conduct and the injuries. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
However, our lawsuit was 17 minutes I was thrown off. And you have the social media director acknowledging that she contacted Twitter.
So they left out the proof is essentially.
Well, they had no proof.
Right.
Yeah, but
they left out your proof. If they cited your lawsuit,
exactly,
they could have shown the
exactly.
proof.
So exactly. They tanked that lawsuit. And now we have a Supreme Court precedent, which basically allows government to contact social media companies to silence speech. You see what they did? Elon Musk has never shut down the backdoor portal, nor has Mark Zuckerberg, any of these guys. So the backdoor portal's open.
Can I ask you specifically on that? Because that's a pretty big accusation. I mean, by the way, I've reached out to Elon separately after that interview, and I asked him that question, uh-huh. and I've followed up, and I've still gotten no response as to whether or not it's been finished. And that was, I think, many, many months later I asked and still got no response on that. That got tens of thousands of retweets. Yeah, Elon, what's going on with this? What's the update on this? No response, to my knowledge, unless there was one recently that I didn't know. Yeah. So it still exists. Is that fact or is that your opinion or do you have direct evidence? I want to be very specific on it.
Well, let me tell you this, okay? The playbook still exists. The CISA was instituted by Trump, CISA, there's, you know, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, by Trump in November of 2018. Let's not forget this. It wasn't Obama who did. That's a different CISA. The infrastructure that I point out at winbackfreedom.com came from Trump.
Right.
And that entire infrastructure has not been dismantled. It still exists. So what are they using it for? Obviously, the backdoor portal exists and it is being used. Because if you look at me, with all the work I do in medicine and health, the amount of content I put, my followers are going down like this. The level of shadow banning, anyone who follows me says it's disgusting, disgraceful. And Elon Musk is fucking behind it. Okay? Because he is presented by the swarm, by the establishment, as some fighter, as some great innovator. None of which are true. We can have a different discussion on that. How his companies came, whether he actually created any of them. But I can tell you this, that none of his ventures would exist were it not the behest of government. It's what I said in the beginning. Where government ends and Elon Musk begins, nobody knows. But with the political theater that's being done, he's presented as a fighter for free speech. Trump is presented, the backdoor portal exists. And true independent fighters like myself are massively shadow banned and censored. And we have all the evidence. You can go look at the data. And however, the left or right grifters and influencers, they're jacked up. Truth is allowed in this model, right? Exposing truth is okay. But are you exposing the whole truth? And are you actually offering solutions? You see, what I've been doing as a scientist, as an inventor, as an activist for nearly 50 years, we built a movement. And our view is that we need to build a bottoms-up movement, independent of left and right, to shatter the swarm. And it can only happen when working people come together. So we all actually offer a solution. You know, as I say, Tucker Carlson exposes a lot, right? But he never talks about things that are going on at a time. He talks about 9/11 30 years later. And he has not had the decency to put us on. And none of these guys, or these people plagiarize, because now the modus operandi is to own truth. Exposing truth is in vogue right now, right? Everyone exposes truth. But are you exposing the whole truth? And are you empowering people to do something about it? None of these people are. And that's why the silencing takes place. Now, what's interesting with Wolf is, Wolf went on this, I think, MSNBC interview. He goes, he's a senior judge. He doesn't have to get off the bench. He could still be an activist judge. So he says he's going to get off the bench because silence is intolerable. He's the one who derailed the lawsuit, which allowed the government to silently silence U.S. citizens. Complete scumbag. So what we have right now, Clayton, is we have political theater on the left and the right, social media influencers, grifters, who never want to actually support independent news. Independent people are building movements, because that means that they lose their money, they lose their monetization, they lose power. But it's interesting just to talk truth. I mean, how many people are talking about COVID now, but they didn't do jack shit in 2020? Go look at what I did. We were the ones who exposed the lockdowns. We gave people solutions. In fact, Kennedy was promoting lockdowns. So people are rewriting their histories. When the shit was hitting the fan, you have to look at what they did. So right. It's not sufficient you tell the truth. It's when did you tell the truth? And for what purpose? Was it to mobilize people to action, to fight? Or was it to tell the truth later, to create learned helplessness? And that's what Tucker Carlson does. That's his job. Nick Fuentes, all these guys. They talk about Zionism. I mean, I've been exposing Zionism and the difference between Zionism and Judaism for 40 years. In fact, go look at these people, what they did on October 7th. They didn't expose any of these intricacies. They wait a year. Watch which way the wind is blowing.
We got destroyed for it. I mean, I was in Egypt right on October 7th, and I was exposing. Yeah. I don't want to make this about me at all. This is about you. But, we got annihilated for it, pointing out that the Egyptian government was, of course, had already laid the groundwork and given them all the information about this ahead of time. And we were, not too far from Rafah and exposing this. But we got slammed for it. You're anti-Semite. Well, yeah. Why did they have a stand-down order for seven? You're an anti-Semite for exposing that.
Well, the reason I called you was, I remember in 2022, you had the journalistic decency to say, Dr. Shiva's the one who did this. And then you followed up. You went and asked Elon. And then you followed up. Very few journalists do that. And the reality is, I can tell you that the backdoor portal infrastructure exists. It is being used. And a bunch of fucking grifters who stole our material are acting like they're for free speech. Schellenberger, Mike Benz, I challenge you to prove me that I'm wrong. fucking scumbags.
Maybe they'll do a debate.
And the reality,
yeah.
Well, yeah, let's do a debate. And but Biden versus Murthy would have been the lawsuit. It was a fake lawsuit intended to let Supreme Court set a precedent that, in fact, government can silence speech using social media. That's what the end result is. And it's so nebulous they did it, versus our lawsuit exposed it, a direct connection. This is why Wolf had to slam our lawsuit. This is why all the scumbags who were Biden versus Murthy did not cite our lawsuit.
Dr. Shiba, can I ask you, is there now a legal avenue for this, or is it now Supreme Court precedent is set based on this?
So what I did was I filed when I noticed what Musk was doing to us, the shadow banning. So you see, in the old days, quote unquote old days, of Jack Dorsey, they just threw you off Twitter, right?
Right.
They just banned you.
Right.
Now what they do is, with guys like me, they put me in a digital cage. They put you back on. So Elon Musk can say, oh yeah, I let all these voices, I let Dr. Shiva on. But they have, I still, you know, I have three of the earliest patents, Clayton, on three text-based algorithms for AI. You know, I did it for 20 years when I was at MIT. So what they're doing now is predictive analytics. So they can take you on Twitter, find all your followers, okay? And they can not only shadow ban you, but redirect the people that would be liking you to a fake version of you. You see what I'm saying? Redirect your followers to Alex Jones. And so people have been pointing this out, and we've seen this. So it's a much more, a deeper form of censorship. A digital cage, you give the illusion to the masses, oh, we're supporting free speech. But what you're doing is banning that person while they're allowed to have some presence, and then redirecting their followers or potential followers to others, to the fake versions of you.
Can we solve this in the courts? I mean, this is the thing, right? These, as you pointed out, they have First Amendment rights. As X Twitter, they can do whatever they want. It's the United States of America. They can silence you. They can put you in this digital cage. They can keep you. They can give you the perception that you're back on Twitter, but not getting any, you know, interactions, retweets.
Yeah. So I'll tell you the solution. In 1993, you know, I created the first email system when I was a 14-year-old kid. The facts are black and white on this. But anyway, in 1993, my second life with email, I created technology to read and route email for the White House. I won a White House contest, left MIT, started a company called Echo Mail. Anyway, it was in 1997 that email volume overtook postal volume, if you see the graph. Very, very important year. Now, why do I bring this up? It's going to sound really sort of anachronistic, but the United States Postal Service, and I've talked about this for almost 30 years, was one of the finest institutions that was created by the founders to give teeth to the First Amendment, not the Second Amendment. The U.S. Postal Service was created because the Crown, prior to 1776, would open up the colonists' email, read them, and censor them. In fact, Franklin was the head of the Crown's Postal Service. He left. And in 1787, when the Postal Service was created, it was created to ensure that two U.S. citizens, or N number of U.S. citizens, could communicate at pennies and nothing would interfere. And in fact, the Postal Service has a police force that if any postal worker opens up a letter, they're thrown in jail for 22 years. A lot of people don't know this. So the Postal Service at that time was the internet of the time to allow free speech, backed by the Constitution. Now, 1997, why it's important is that was a year, Yahoo, right? All these email companies come,
AOL,
and they start siphoning off mail communications to electronic communications. And a lot of people never read their privacy statements or their terms of conditions, which basically said they own your email. Very different than the United States government transporting letters. Because if the U.S. government violates and opens a letter, they violated your First Amendment rights. You have recourse. So what we did was we started, or these institutions, by politicians, created these social media technology companies so they could launder censorship. Again, a term that I created in our lawsuit. Okay, laundering censorship. So I met with the Postal Service. I was 29. I said, you know, this is very dangerous. As a guy who created email, I said, you guys, the Postal Service is not in the postal mail business, you're in the communications business, you should also offer a social media like YouTube and email protected by the aegis of the United States government, which ensures that communications can happen freely. They said, look, we're in the postal mail business. We're bigger than Walmart. Get the hell out of our office. This was senior executives. Anyway, in 2011, the Postal Service is going out of business. And I gave an interview to Time Magazine. And I said, these guys are idiots. I said, they could make several billion dollars a year by offering a public mail and social media service, which would be protected by Congress, by the Constitution. And Dave Williams then, who was the inspector general, reached out to me and he goes, why are you attacking us? And then he commissioned me to do two reports on how the Postal Service could make money and they could protect the rights of U.S. citizens. It never went anywhere. In fact, more recently, I talked to Dave Williams, who was brought up by Trump and Mnuchin to try to bring the Postal Service under the Department of Commerce. You know what that would allow the government to do, Clayton? To start opening up letters. The point is, the government, the founders, wanted the Postal Service to protect communications, the infrastructure. It's very, very difficult for people to get, but then they say, shit, makes sense.
Yeah, so no, I've never heard this before. So this
makes sense. So it's pretty cool, okay? So my view is all the Postal Service, because they have all these physical locations, could create what's called a mesh network. Mm-hmm. And I've laid out an entire white paper on this years ago. And the mesh network would be network by the people for the people. No one owns it, not Verizon, not anyone. People talk about free speech, right? As though they're going to protect it. But the last mile, even these stupid Bitcoin people, you know, ultimately this phone has to communicate with your phone. It's going through three or four major service providers who can cut you off at any time. So until we, the people, have our own network and it's protected by Congress, not encryption, technocrats aren't going to protect it. It has to be protected by the Constitution. That's why the Postal Service was amazing. But the idiots at the Postal Service never moved forward in time. They thought they're in the paper mail postal business. No, you're in the fucking communications business. You have a right to do this. And I was speaking to Dave Williams, and Dave said, wow, you're absolutely right. Now, he was Inspector General. He was vice chairman of the Postal Service. But Mnuchin, a Zionist scumbag, and Trump, another Zionist scumbag, try to bring the Postal Service under the Department of Commerce. You see what I'm saying? This is not to do with technology. Technology is going to not solve free speech. It is a constitution. And that's why the Postal Service is being decimated. Because when Reagan came in, he took all the elements, the profitable elements of the Postal Service, and he gave it to his friends at DHL and FedEx. So the goal is, in my view, when the Postal Service dies, we're all fucked. Because the Postal Service can be that institution, which should have a mesh network, which should. And so if I send you a communication and anyone interferes, 22 years in prison, that's power. And so a guy like me as a technologist who's built technology can articulate this. This is why, and I'm independent. You know, we're running again for U.S. Senate as an independent this year. And they do not want independent voices out there. They can have Tucker Carlson out there acting like he's radical, or Glenn Greenwald, or Mamdani even, right? That's all okay, because you're part of the left or right. But they don't want independent people coming from below. And that's why we're where we are. And the only way out of this is to, the future is offline. The future is not online, because it's highly, highly controlled. You know, the illusion of social media is it's decentralized. It's the most centralized form of communication right now. Because with technology and with AI, you can control the movement of information. So we live in a very dangerous time. And the only way out of this is building a bottoms-up movement, which is what I've dedicated my life to as an activist. Bottoms-up movements, educating people, fuck off to the left, fuck off to the right. They both attack each other with half-truths. And the middle, the people in the middle, the working people are getting fucked. And they get split, right?
Yeah,
and the only way out of this is education. And that's why when Wolf steps down from the bench to say he's going to fight Trump, it's all fucking theater. Even Massey and Ro Khanna, total fucking theater. They're not going to be fighting against Epstein. If you actually go read their memo, it gives Pam Bondi so many ways out.
Oh yeah.
So this is just the Democrats and Republicans doing this theater as a Massey some fighter. And he went to MIT. I know this guy reasonably well, Aro Khanna. They're acting like they're a coalition to protect women. Bullshit. Pam Bondi still has immense power to suppress a lot of the Epstein files. So we're living in a time of extraordinary theater, illusion. As a great, yogic saint said, Maya, illusion, illusion, illusion. And all these social media influencers are part of that illusion. That's why they get boosted.
Oh, I often wonder that. I mean, again, not to make this about me at all, but I see it all the time because we, we're an independent show. We don't have an agenda. I call them the Uniparty. It's just one blob in Washington, D.C. It's just one Uniparty.
I used to see you more. I used to see Redacted more. You guys should pop up on my feeds more.
No, we get banned a lot. I mean, we are not banned. I would say shadow banned. They definitely suppress. You can tell instantly. They'll also demonetize us pretty quickly. People tell us all the time that they set alerts. They never get alerts for our show. Nothing. So we see this all the time. Certainly across X as well. We call out certain stories that are probably detrimental to them. But yeah, and then you see these social media influencers who sort of play one side or the other. They're definitely in the camp of access journalists because they want that access, and you see it. Again, it's frustrating. I know how the machine works in Washington, D.C. It's that if they kiss these members of Congress's ass, they get elevated. They get they get interviews with them. They set up their office inside the Pentagon. They get their little press booth wherever, and so they're all hanging out together in Washington, D.C. And it's disgusting, So, those are the people that get the TV shows and all that stuff, and us like independents,
that's suppressed. Why I think the future is off. They do not want independent voices. This is hard for people to fully capture. But I'll say it again: independent voices who are not under anyone's behest. Yeah. If they start telling the truth, they don't want to give them the limelight.
Right.
Even when they tell the truth, because that means they're going to build their brand equity. So they even have to take truth, and they have to make sure the right people tell the truth, half-assed truth. And that's the example of what we go to Backdoor Portal Weeks, but there's a PhD thesis if you go to winbackfreedom.com. And I get so many letters, Mike Ben, scumbag, scumbag, scumbag. They stole our stuff. And this is classic CIA. CIA has a policy of control where it's called limited hangouts, right? They have it down to an SOP, right? Standard operating procedure.
Oh, right.
And our goal is to educate people on that. When people start understanding, where does this truth come from and when was it spoken? Where the fuck were you, Mike Benz, in 2020? I didn't even know who the fuck you were. Where the fuck was Schellenberger? Never heard of him. Where was Whitney Webb in 2020? All these people sort of come out of nowhere, right? And they get these channels and promotions, etc. Because none of them are building a bottoms-up movement to shatter the swarm, right? None of them actually want to fundamentally change stuff. One of my mentors was a guy called Noam Chomsky when I was at MIT. I don't know if you know him.
Oh,
Chomsky.
Yeah.
Chomsky is more cited. The only person who's cited more than Chomsky is Jesus Christ. So when I was an activist, Clayton at MIT, this was Jesus in the 80s, I was corralled over to do research with Chomsky. And that's what they used to do. They used to take really new activists, and they had these institutionalized grifters, right? It took me a while to figure out what Chomsky was about. Chomsky was an institute professor at MIT, and he would write Manufacturing Consent, all these amazing things exposing the establishment with beautiful footnotes. Well, I did a year project with Chomsky on the caste system. At the end of that year, I said, so Professor Chomsky, this is 1983. What do you think is going to happen to the world? He said, well, Shiva, we're at the cul-de-sac of humanity. Humanity is just going to kill itself. There's really not much you can do. This very nihilistic idea. And I said, what a fucking asshole. So
Chomsky, and then of course he's all in this past week, all over the Epstein files, of course. So
yes. So, mm-hmm. And he got to be an institute professor, not an associate professor, assistant professor, endowed professor, institute. There's only four of them at that time at MIT. So what we have created now is a bunch of Chomskys. And they're called social media influencers, grifters, that you get corralled to them. Oh, you want to learn about blah, 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 free speech? Go to Mike Schellenberger. You want to learn about COVID? Go to this guy. You see? So they created these honeypots where they corral young people actually trying to figure the shit out. And what do those people do? They don't tell them to do anything. They create learned helplessness, right? All of their videos, and Chomsky would do this. He would do a 2-hour thing, Clayton, on U.S. invasion of Central America. You'd go to 2 hours at 26100, which is a big auditorium at MIT. All these activists would go angry and they'd come back all fucked up, depressed, not knowing what to do. I guess the world just sucks. The powers are so strong, we can't do anything. And that was Chomsky's role. You see?
I'm just trying to see the end game here. In order to just be disillusioned, you know what? I'm just going to sit home. I'm not going to do anything. Yeah. I'll live off the government. You know what? Just give me some sort of a universal basic income and I'll just kind of toe the line.
Yes. So the singular, if you look at these two periods, 70 years before 1970 and between 1970 and now, very fascinating set of events. And all of this history, American history, has been intentionally suppressed. During the late 1800s and early 1900s, people may not know this, but in 1886, four American workers were hanged in the United States for fighting for the 8-hour workday. Did you know that?
No.
And in commemoration of those workers, international workers all over the world named it May Day. It was not a communist holiday. Okay? So there was a indigenous bottoms-up trade union workers' movement in the United States, late 1800s, early 1900s, independent of Democrats or Republicans. Those movements are the ones that were explosively growing. There was going to be a revolution in the United States in the 1920s. That movement is what put the gun to FDR's head. He wasn't a nice guy. He was a racist scumbag, okay? And they forced the Democrats to do the New Deal, give reforms, right? Build roads, public health, all these things came out of these mass movements, which people don't want to talk about because it shows the power of people. And between 1900 to 1970, as the GDP grew, everyone's wages grew. First income, second income, third, fourth income quartiles, because you had these very tough American workers who would not take any bullshit. During that period, there was 11,000 strikes, 250 million people participated. Massive workers' consciousness. Don't fuck with us, okay? By the 1950s, the Republicans and Democrats got together, spearheaded by McCarthy, and they branded all these movements as communist, right? The Red Scare, if you remember that. Seven workers in Milwaukee were shot by the National Guard, where McCarthy came from. But between 1950 to 1970, the goal was to suppress these organic independent movements and replace them top down. So the Democrats took over the unions and the Republicans got Wall Street. So between 1970 till today, this came out in a RAND report. GDP has grown explosively, but the first and second income quartiles, working people, we're not talking about the people who don't work. I'm not talking about the lumpen proletariat, okay? The people who sit at home, smoke weed, bang whoever they want. That's what the Democrats support, okay? And during this period between 1970 till today, $47 trillion has been extracted in wages and sent upwards to the Jeff Bezos of the world. So this is just a reality. And during this period, if you look at the activism, at most 900 strikes by 2 million people. The unions have been taken over. There is no workers' movement. So the reason I shared that history is the central goal of all of this grifting, all of this controlled opposition, is to make sure people do not build bottoms-up workers' movements, true workers' movements. So they have Mamdani, who talks workers, democratic socialists, bullshit, it's fake socialism. They're talking about top-down control to support the non-workers. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They don't want people to work.
Right.
Right? So it's fake socialism.
Right. And they want you to live off the government. They want you to stay home. Exactly. They don't want you to work. They absolutely don't want you to work.
So on the right here, you have the Jared fucking Kushners, who, by the way, I grew up in the town he did. You know, in the last 3 years, my parents moved to a highly Zionist town because it had the best school systems. But the Kushners, the Ivanka Trumps, who are these fucking people? They never worked a day in their lives. They got the fucking birth lottery. So on the right, you have these people who network. That's what working means to them. And over on the left, You have people who don't want to work. So the Democrats represent the lumpen proletariat, and the right wing represents the birth lottery babies, right? Who's representing the middle, Clayton? No one. But their goal is to split the working people. So they do MAGA to take one wing of the working class to support them. And then they take Bernie Sanders and AOC's and Mamdani's. We're all bougie people, by the way. Mamdani's mother is Mira Nair, who's one of the most bougiest Hollywood directors. No one knew that. He was directed, right? So you have the left and the right attacking each other with half-truths, and the middle is getting fucked. Hmm. And I came from the middle. You know, I came from India, which had a caste system, right? And right. We have a caste system now in the United States. We were considered the lowest caste. You won't find a lot of Indians like me here. Most of the Indians here are total scumbags. You know, they are part of the Brahmin caste.
They must love when you tell the truth. They must love when you don't pull any punches.
Well, if you remember when I ran for president, and we, by the way, we got on the ballot in 14 states, we overcame Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. But what's interesting is I did a video. I said, I'm the only presidential candidate who does not suck Zionist cock. That went viral. I don't know if you saw that. That video it's a hilarious, it got like 2 million views and then it was suppressed. And then all the grifters started using my memes. You see? So what they're doing now, Clayton, is when independent people put out pure truth, independent news, if it's going viral, Palantir calls one of these grifters. You own it now. We can't have Shiva own it. We can't have Clayton own it. You got to fucking own it. So that's what's going on. And they see, because they have enough analytics to see if a natural organic voice comes up, they give it to one of their grifter pals. But they don't promote a movement. I don't only expose truth. I want to smash the system of power, profit, control. That's called building a movement again, a true movement. So they don't offer any solutions, like the Postal Service, right? Or in medicine.
We're running out of time here, but if you said, well, the future is offline, how do you build an organic movement from the ground up like that with 100 million Americans who don't vote? It's 100 million Americans who just refuse because they believe there's a uniparty. They think they're both corrupt like I do. So how do you build that offline?
So in our Senate race in 2026, we're going to give people an opportunity to truly understand what a bottoms-up movement is. I'm not going to fucking campaign because I did it twice, right? We went against Elizabeth Warren, great slogan, only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian in 2020, right? We're the ones who expose all this stuff. But in 2026, we should do a whole nother thing. We're going to teach people how you go neighbor to neighbor. And you have to be, it can't be Dr. Shiva up there campaigning, you know, the old model. No. So we're going to tell all of our people want to vote for me. Oh, I love Dr. Shiva's videos. He's great. Okay, what the fuck are you doing? Why don't you get 6-10 people to come vote for us? Don't just say, I love you, I watch your videos. What the fuck are you going to do? That accountability is what both wings have taken away from people. We'll take care of it for you, right? Our goal is working people who actually do the work need to also work for themselves. The slogan is save yourself. No one is coming to save you. And that's where the shift needs to take place, Clayton. People need to recognize all of these fucking scumbags are so sophisticated that you can't compete with them, that you have to go inward to us and we have to recognize our value. We're the ones who work. I'm the one who goes to every day and does science and invents things. What the fuck does Mamdani do? What the fuck does AOC do? What the fuck does Booby fucking Kennedy do? Nothing. These people don't have any fucking skills except to manipulate. Working people, plumbers, electricians, you know, school bus, we're the ones who work. We pay our taxes, right? We're honest. We expect everything. They're not honest. So those people also need to turn the corner and recognize they should not be codependent to these people anymore. They need to organize independently, and you don't need fucking social media for that. Social media will watch you, control you, manipulate you. That's what it was created for. The future is offline. Neighbor to neighbor, old school. And it works. People did it for years. You know, here's the reality. I'll give you an example. Massachusetts, 6.2 million citizens, 5.7 million can vote, only 4.2 million register to vote. And out of them, only 2.2 million ever show up to vote. And the left and right only market to that 2.2. They don't want the dark matter rising. When I ran last time, 60% of our votes came from the dark matter. And the dark matter exists. And the dark matter is actually very intelligent. They know the system is a scam. They want someone coming from bottoms up and inspiring them. And you don't need social media for this. We're going to prove that in 2026. And we're going to win the U.S. Senate race.
Well, Dr. Shiva, thank you so much for being here. Eye-opening, as always. And, you know, maybe you'll get a few phone calls from the likes of Mike Benz and Schellenberger and others. Well, I'd love to see a debate. I'd love to host a debate and have a discussion about
Have them show up. And we'll, Clayton, I do want to follow up with you. You know what I do full time? You know, my life was really about politics and medicine, because I grew up in a caste system in India when I was 4 years old watching this. That motivated me. My grandmother is a traditional healer, so I'm deeply interested in medicine. The other half of my life has been involved in medicine. You know, my PhD at MIT was creating a technology framework that can literally model disease on the computer, any disease, and use natural compounds from nature to figure out how they work together, what these ancients did. So over the last 16 years, very quietly, I've gone after every disease, and we started what's called the Open Science Institute, and it's a completely new paradigm for research. And at some point, I'd like to come back and share that with you, because it goes against the medical industrial establishment, but it's a solution. What we need, Clayton, there's not fucking people talking, solutions. And my whole life has not been just exposing, but actual tangible solutions, like the Postal Service. We've created a whole solution where people can support the understanding of disease directly for 1/1000th of the amount of money that they spend to FDA, NIH, all this bullshit. And the entire medical industrial complex from MIT, Harvard, Yale, they have no interest in curing disease. They want to treat disease, right? So you're not going at the fundamental issue. And that's what one of the big things, without hyperbole, that we've solved with this platform. And we're going after every disease. In fact, I just published a major paper in Nature on ALS. We did the work, and we did it for zero money, okay? These shitloads of money are going to the Breast Cancer Foundation. Susan Komen, by the way, gets a $9 million pension. Are you aware of that? So these foundations and the academic institutions, they don't want to fucking solve any disease. They just want grant. That's the engine. They're not into going to the root cause of a disease, finding it, and finding compounds from nature to solve them in a very, very methodical way. That's what I've done. But that was what my goal was when I was 4 years old. Politics also to fight. So medicine and politics. So I talk a lot about politics, but I'm very, very deeply grounded as a scientist in that. And at some point, we should share the paradigm changing way that we're doing biological research. We can do research faster, cheaper, and safer than all these institutions combined. And very quietly, Clayton, I publish in the leading journals in Nature, Cell, et cetera. And this has been...
I'd love to have you back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it. Well, let's put a pin in this one, but I'd love to have you back on that. Dr. Shiva, thank you so much for sharing this eye-opening discussion about free speech and what we can do to rebuild or save free speech in this country. Get this bottom up movement going. Dr. Shiva, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Be well, Clayton.
Thank you.
Be well, be the Lord. Thank you.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is a not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is a not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right, the Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, The Art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.